Sexual desire is a powerful thing. It shapes us in ways we may not even be aware of. Many psychologists agree that it is at the core of who we are as people. What turns you on is all about your hopes and dreams, and therefore it's worth reflecting on and making art about.
Today, teacher, comedian, and bondage babe, Miss Tamale Sepp, joins us to talk about her recently finished MFA thesis, Bound and Determined, an installation of self-help books beautifully tied up with red ropes in Japanese bondage style, and a performance piece where she reenacts a day in the life of a sadomasochistic high school teacher.
Listen as we talk with Tamale about how the torturous qualities of schools may actually benefit us, and dig up some ancient forms of sexy Asian erotic roleplay.
Plus all the hot news. Chinese pop star Zhu Yuping charged with the murder of 6 men in S&M sex games.
American Muslim bloggers threaten South Park.
Whitney Houston croaks her way across Europe.
Pam Grier tells all about how Richard Pryor poisoned her pussy.
Glad gets mad again.
The Washington Blade gets a second life.
And firefighters rescue an adorable little puppy trapped in a reclining chair.
Aww. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. On today's Feast of Fun, we have the delicious Tamale Sepp. Spicy comedian, performance artist who just finished her thesis. And it's at the Arcade Gallery here in Chicago till May 15th, her installation.
Mm-hmm. I did a 3-part thesis, and part of it is an installation.
So you tied up a bunch of self-help books in red rope, and you titled the piece Bound and Determined. What?
Well, and it had video component, too.
Yes, it was. Mark actually came to the performance aspect of the thesis, which was wonderful to see.
It was wonderful to see you do it. Oh, it was a lot of fun. I'm very clear with you, right? Is that what was the piece?
Yes.
Because you kind of repeat this thing over and over again.
Well, and describe to the listeners who weren't there, like me, what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about that, Fausto. It was really sad to not see you there. Really.
Listen, I can't be at every single thing that everyone does.
I know,
as
right?
As much as I'd like to.
Oh, God, I know.
But Mark did go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't tell me a thing about it.
That's probably best.
I didn't?
No, you haven't said. All you said, it was a bunch of red rope and things hanging.
Well, that's about the gist of it.
But why are you doing this, Tamale? I mean, it's like, this is like the actions of a person who's like just got out of a mental institution. Why are you doing this? You're a comedian.
Awesome.
Well, let's talk about it, because there's 3 things. So there's the installation, mm-hmm. there's the performance piece, and what was the other thing?
And then there's also a screening in the screening room that was for people who missed the performance, but also it had aspects of the installation involved as well. So it's 3-part.
So you are wanting to make this art to say what kind of message?
It's really just kind of an exploration of some things that have been bouncing around in my head. And I worked on it through my second year through the program and wanted to elaborate on it some more and just
like what is
it.
What are you what's the ideas that are bouncing in your head? What are you exploring?
Well, the first part was really about it was a bunch of self-help books. There's a bunch of self-help books that I had penetrated and used Japanese rope bondage to tie into various positions and then suspend them in front of these shifting media images. Mm-hmm. And so we see a woman. The media images are of this woman who's crying, and but she's also smiling. And as the images shift, you see that she's holding the end of her rope. And it talks about how the idea behind that is that we draw circumstances to us to help us learn and grow, and how ultimately they're self-imposed because we're the ones who select situations and people that may not be conscious, but it is intentional on some level. So
that we make our own hell.
Well, hopefully not our own hell. I mean, she is smiling, so she's gaining something from it, right? But there's this transcendence that happens through this decision.
So the images are with your installations is with Japanese bondage. What is Japanese bondage as opposed to other types of bondage?
Well, it's a Japanese rope bondage, and Japanese rope bondage is a cultural thing. It's definitely something that, as an American, I really can't. It's not. That is a time-honored tradition, and it's something that I can incorporate in the sense.
You mean
that,
like from the time of the samurais, they've been doing like bondage?
Oh yes.
Well, my mother was pointing out to me that she loves to remind me that samurai warriors always had young male concubines, mm-hmm. and they would heat up ceramic rods by the fireplace to loosen up their buttholes. so they could slide it in their own penises. Yes. And
samurais were gay.
A lot of the samurais, like, you know, the Romans, loved that man-on-man sex.
Wow.
Teacher-on-student sex, more like it.
Wow.
Although I would imagine a lot of them would, you know, exchange sword, what is it, have a sword fight between each other, metaphorically speaking, of course.
They're samurai swords.
They love their swords.
So that's the installation part. And then you did a performance piece where you kind of recreated your day teaching elementary school students while this video montage of that same person in ropes mm-hmm. played in the background.
Yeah, the installation piece was a lot about kind of the personal conversation, the internal conversation that people are, that I wanted to portray as an artist, as someone mm-hmm. who has, who's introspective and really looks at themselves on various levels. And also just the fact that being gay, like having that, being queer and having that as part of your identity can really be a liability. And so, you know, being these two worlds may forever remain separate, but mm-hmm. they certainly inform each other, which is why with the performance aspect, I really, really enjoyed how an understanding and a deep appreciation for power dynamic, when it's shown in a classroom and used the way that I demonstrate through those different performances.
We got to wash that academia out of your way you're talking.
Oh, damn. Oh.
I was like, let's do a little seance to get all the,
oh, God.
All the heady speak. Oh, demons of heady speak. Let me gone of this girl.
Let me ask you this, though. One part of your performance, though, and I think this is something I'd like you to speak to this, because I think sure. this is something that Fausto would have really enjoyed, is there was a point you would have liked. Because
yes.
there was a point where she had drawn some students closer to her, and she said, I'm going to call your parents, and you're kind of thinking, oh, she's going to call their parents and she's going to say your kid was really awful today in school or something like that, but then you kind of flipped it. What is it yeah. that you say to the parents?
Oh, well, I pull these three students out uh-huh. and I'm completely serious with them, and these mm-hmm. are all things that actually happened, so it was so delightful to revisit them on stage for people. I just pulled these three students out, and
these are children.
Yeah, these were particular students. These were middle school kids.
Okay,
these
so is, like,
but they 12. Weren't in the performance piece.
They
she
were,
was
no,
up.
I was
up by herself.
Okay, right.
mm-hmm. I was performing them, and as I pulled them out, they were concerned. They're like, "Oh, are we in trouble? You know, what do we do?" And then I said, "Just come with me." And then I, you know, brought them to the office, and I in turn call their parents and say, "You know, we had a really rough day today, and I just wanted to call you and let you know that your daughter was part of the solution and not part of the problem. And you really should be aware that your student really stood out today, and I want you to know about that." And then, of course, yeah, so they're like scared.
That's
and
so sweet.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I knew you would like it.
That is so
that was
nice.
Awesome. And they were, you know, crapping mm-hmm. bricks because they're scared to death or they're in trouble. And they're, I just remember these.
You are such a dominatrix with these kids. And this actually did happen.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So to wrap it up here is that mm-hmm. you were doing a stage performance about your experience as a middle school teacher. And this actually did occur.
As a teacher in general, because there were also high school things that happened when I was okay. teaching high school as well, but mm-hmm. yes, and things that actually did happen, the power play and the dynamic between teacher and student, and how that can be used to help people, you know, just grow. Like those students really, they were so loyal, obviously, after that, because they know they're going to be rewarded for positive and not just always in trouble.
So they became the teacher's pet.
They, yeah.
Mistress Tamale, I brought you an apple.
Will you with me a little bit?
Because worlds may remain forever separate.
Well, I mean, school is kind of like bondage. I mean, you're forced to go there. You're stuck in there all day. You don't get to. You have to do what the teacher says.
Unfortunately, high schools in this country are like prisons, but not the sexy, fun prison in the Lady Gaga Beyonce video.
Oh, you my know? God, no. I wish.
With mannish prison guards going, see, she doesn't have a penis.
Right.
Too bad.
So did you get an A?
I hope so. I don't think they, at this point, you don't really get an A or a B. You just basically like, hey, you get your master's, or you wail in bitter, bitter sadness. And
does that happen very often where people say, I'm sorry, we didn't approve your thesis, you're not going to graduate?
There are so many checkpoints along the way that really doesn't it's have hard the opportunity. For that
to happen. You have to do a lot in order to not graduate. Like, basically, get on drugs and not show up and not do art. Mm-hmm. If you did bad, bad art, it still can be argued that it is an expression and there's mindfulness. And if you show documentation of the work that you put
mm-hmm.
into it,
mm-hmm.
they're going to graduate you.
And you got a lot of critiques, though, when you did a lot of your things, because you did things in drag, didn't you? And people were like, drag is not art.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that drag was an art. Is that
the way he did it?
Yeah, maybe it was better than
Zing. There
we
go.
Well, because I think there was a lot of confusion, and they sort of grouped me in with those kind of transgendered people. For a lot of some of the listeners don't know, I actually went to graduate school at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago, which is the same.
Where
is that? Where you?
No, she's at Columbia.
You're at Columbia, but it's a similar school here in Chicago. And so my experience in graduate school was that a lot of the teachers had a confusion on what their role was. And and I think a lot of people do. And I just started like thinking, RuPaul's Drag Race. There's so many things you can learn from watching that show. And one of the things that I sort of like, one breakthrough that I had was that when we think of giving feedback or criticism to an artist or to a performer or a writer, we usually put ourselves in the shoes of somebody that, like a theater critic for a newspaper. The job of a theater critic for a newspaper is not to provide that artist with useful tools. It's to provide an audience with the useful tools of whether they want to consume that art or not. Right? So they're writing it for an audience, for the public. And the problem is that when we give feedback to an artist, we think of ourselves as that we're protecting the public or we're informing the public about it. Whereas that's the worst kind of feedback you can give. The most useful is to the goal is to make the artist and the art better.
Right.
And so if you're not providing feedback that allows that artist the diagnostic tools to be better, then you're failing as a teacher or as a critique.
So when you critique it, you just say, "I'm not really feeling it." That's not really.
That's like a Santino. Don't be a Santino. Be a Tim Gunn. Tim Gunn is really, you know, you learn so much from Tim Gunn because he's a really good teacher. And if you watch Project Runway, and that's what I really like in popular culture, that we're starting to see the behind the scenes of academia and schools and the way art and fashion and culture is educated in this country. And so people like Tim Gunn, who are really good teachers, you see them, how they mentor and how they lift up every single participant. Where someone like Santino, who I would say is just this person who's doing it to make themselves feel better by trashing somebody and not giving them any tools to actually improve.
Well, anytime you have a situation where someone is just out and out trashing another person, that speaks more to their insecurity than it does any kind of, you know, that's such a crap situation, you know, anytime.
But Mark and I get accused of that too a lot, is that we always zone in on the one thing that makes a person insecure or uncomfortable. And I was thinking that too, is like, maybe we do that because it makes us feel powerful or makes us feel better.
Speaking of which, let's talk about your relationship with your sister.
I love my sister. Oh my god!
I'm just kidding. I don't know. I didn't even know if you had a sister.
I do have a sister.
Okay,
but yeah, sometimes I think like for me, I zone in on those things because I want to have something that's provocative and emotional, and you know, because a good talk show is going to be an emotional conduit.
Yes, perhaps I will definitely grant that. But I also think it's important to note that you're not playing the role of an educator or of someone who's being called upon to critique something.
I want to be.
Well, what you're doing is you're inviting conversation about something. That's a different thing than someone who's placed in the role, someone who is being given the authority to make, you know, calls about how something should proceed or to be, you know, suggestions, right? Like if a teacher can give a suggestion, hey, you might want to consider this, or as a suggestion, you might want to study more of that to
like
inform
in the movie
your work.
Showgirls,
for example, yes, very highbrow.
They said, Nomi, you want to put a little bit more orange on your lipstick to make it pop out.
Right.
That would be constructive feedback.
Right. Constructive feedback.
And
right?
Nomi could have said, thanks, or
thank you.
Said, you don't know shit.
Or right. She could have just, like,
I'd like
yeah.
to focus more on this other part of my performance, namely my beaded gowns and the way that I can rip them apart in order to sabotage others.
Love that.
Right? Like she could have done that.
If you are a dancer in Las Vegas, you gotta hold on tight to that rail as you're going down the banister in life, honey, because there might be someone younger and hungrier behind you, shoving you down.
I wouldn't have anybody behind me on the stairs. I'm like, all of you go first.
I'll take the escalator. Elevator. I'll just have my dressing room moved upstairs, you know? Why couldn't you do that, Crystal Connors? You wouldn't be in the hospital now.
It's true.
Hey, we want to take a moment right now and let the listeners know that today's show is brought to you by generous support of fantastic listeners like you, and also in part by PrideFest Milwaukee.
Join us this June 11th through the 13th at the nation's largest showcase of LGBT music and talent at PrideFest in Milwaukee on the Summerfest grounds. There's going to be over 150 acts, including Kathy Griffin, Patti LaBelle, Joan Rivers, Tattoo, Amanda Lepore, Bruce Vilanch, Jeffree Star, Snap, Robert Verdi, and more.
Visit PrideFest.com to book your hotel and tickets. Don't forget, it's 11th through the 13th on the Summerfest grounds in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To learn more, visit PrideFest.com. We'll see you there. Yeah. I'm going to totally be there for Jeffree Star.
It'll be fun to see him perform.
Yeah, he's a lovely... He's a pink flamingo of indie... punk rock. I don't know quite how to describe his music.
He was the first queen of MySpace.
I know. Before Tila Tequila was a pariah of the internet. Poor Tila Tequila.
I know. Sad, sad, sad.
Sad. She lost her lover to diabetes. Mm. And Amanda Lepore's going to be there.
I just want
to
stare at her.
She's going to be walking
She's
naked.
She's terrible.
I just want to stare at her. I just want to take her in with my eyeballs.
You know, that's how she got famous. She would just go to nightclubs and parties naked.
I don't doubt it. I would give her money just to stand in front of me and just not move.
But where would she put it?
In her hair.
And Bruce Vilanch's beard.
I love him.
I wonder
him.
What Bruce is going to do. Stand up or
He's
something?
He's going to do stand up. It's going to be a great celebration. Oh, and, you know, up there, the weather's fabulous. And it's all this fresh summer air in Wisconsin.
Right?
Hot, young Midwestern guys. Mm-hmm. You know,
book your tickets now.
Yes, and get your hotel room if you're going to plan to spend the weekend up there, because most of the rooms sell out. So you can get more information, and they actually have information. What do they want to say?
They have information at that website.
They have information. PrideFest.com. Go there now. Tamale, your show Bound and Determined runs till May 15th at the Arcade Gallery.
Yes, 16.
That's in the Columbia College, right?
It is, yes, part of Columbia College Chicago's campus. Wow, that's a lot of
C's.
Yeah. It's 618 South Michigan on the second floor.
And where Mark and I love to lecture on new media. And so
yes,
we actually usually go down to 618. What are you at?
618
624 is where we go. I got confused. I went into that thing and I went up to the second floor. I'm like, I'm in the library. I'm like, where is this art? The person's like, you're a couple buildings down.
Yeah. One of the things that we love doing is we go to several different classrooms and go in there and, you know, as dark, raving, mad lunatics and talk about the internet and new media. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, it's amazing that it's sort of like being an old person and teaching young people how to program the clock on their VCR. They know how to do it. They're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so our job is mostly to point out, you're already doing the things that other people need to learn how to do, like how to consume and connect and direct traffic and information around the internet.
Well, I just, and you know, just as a nod to that, I'd like to thank you for just the things that you've taught me on the side. I mean, just, you know, showing up for these podcasts.
It's all been on the level, people. It's nothing kinky or sexy or weird.
Unfortunately, but I'm working on it. I'm greasing them up.
Duct
as
tape
it were.
Is, you know, if you find the right kind of duct tape, actually, it's not duct tape, stage tape.
Yeah,
gaffing
tape, yeah.
Can be really useful S&M tool because it doesn't leave residue.
I didn't know that.
But it's more expensive.
Dramatic eye roll.
You did know that?
Maybe.
Did.
That's why I suggested
it.
Hello?
Muscular bodybuilders and chains. Like, there, you can find an ocean of images of guys and girls with their muscles and their chains. And it looks absolutely ridiculous. It looks like they went to a hardware store and pulled out the chain and wrapped their bodies in it. And it's like, and one thing you also know that's real telling, you never see African-American people posing with chains. What's
back
up with that?
That one. Back on
well, it harkens back to slavery. But you know, I think that, too, is what they used to do in those all those homoerotic movies from, like, the 50s and 60s of the warrior, like Conan the Barbarian, that kind of thing. They always had the guy, the hero, captured, and he was always in chains, like almost like crucified with his arms out. That way you could see, like, admire all his muscles,
yeah,
and he'd
and
pull
his body
against them, and you see
her muscles.
Or like in Stormtroopers? Or no, Star Troopers, where that one guy's like, he's getting whipped. Casper Van Dien's getting whipped, and he's all like chained up so you can admire his body.
And or Grace Jones and Conan the Destroyer.
Right, for example. Yeah.
It's like, we don't want the infection to spread, Grace.
I'll spread your head open, you fool.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is in the news again.
For what?
So he, I guess, and helped coordinated with a bunch of celebrities in California to raise the money to resuscitate the Hollywood sign.
Oh, because it was falling down or
it
something?
It was like, yeah.
That thing's been falling apart for years. You'd think they'd just get it together and figure out some way to make it look nice and
say, make it work. Make we it need work. To have the money to come with me if you want to save the Hollywood sign.
Because it used to be called Hollywood Ranch, was it? Or Hollywood...
Real Estate.
No, the sign used to say something else.
Oh, Hollywood Realty, I think. It was a realty. So.
Oh, is that what it was?
Really?
Yeah. So yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I think you just saw the sign Hollywood itself.
Yeah, it used to be called something. Oh, like the neighborhood was. It was called Hollywood Ridge, or I don't know what it was. But I think the Hollywood sign actually isn't even in Hollywood.
No, it's actually face. It looks. When you're in Hollywood, you can see it, but it's actually on another side of the cliff, and it was owned by Howard Hughes. That whole area. Mm. And he was going to build a fabulous, fabulous house, but they never did. And so he died, and they sold it to another real estate agency, actually in a company in Chicago. And the company in Chicago wanted like 20 times what they paid for it, just in a short amount of time later. But the city of Los Angeles, or I'm not sure exactly the details, but they negotiated a lower price, and they... So I think they're in the process of actually making that public land and turning it into wildlife preserve.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
For coyotes.
And
gay
things.
Men and for bushes.
Yeah. You know? So this is a good thing that Arnold Schwarzenegger's done, So I think that's pretty cool.
That is pretty awesome.
One good thing.
Oh, you know, the thing about Arnold is like, and he has
hard to hate.
He's so hard to hate because it's like he's on Twitter and he's recording his sessions that he's meeting with people about green jobs in California. And there's this woman, this blonde woman, and she's just yakking at him and not making any sense. And he's just there trying to like, I'm like, what? Why did I become governor of California? I'm in hell.
You make no sense.
You make no sense, lady. You know, and all he's thinking is the third Terminator movie where he takes the female Terminator and shoves her head in the toilet.
Sure.
You know he's just thinking that. So yeah. It's hard to hate him.
When is he up for election again?
He's not going to run again.
He's not running
again. No. It's like you see those, the interesting thing about Arnold Schwarzenegger's Twitter account, and he videotapes a lot of the behind the scenes stuff that he does. And you're just like going, God, that job is boring. I mean, it's not as exciting as being an action movie star or bodybuilder or something. You know, I'm coming on stage. I'm coming on at home. It's a great job. And now he's become this like, boring, sterile person.
He has to sign things, though, with a fancy quill.
He should be like with a machine gun.
Is there a quill? I want to wear a tiara and use a quill as much as possible.
He should be fighting aliens with a machine gun. He should not be like sitting behind a desk.
That's Grandpa's fighting aliens.
Grandpa, he should be like Jack LaLanne. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
100 years old and still can kick some shit.
Pulling cars across the parking lot. Or what did Jack LaLanne do? He pulled a boat across some harbor or something crazy. I know he's still kicking. Is he still alive?
He's still alive. I don't think he's doing those commercials for that. I think they're using old footage of him for the juicers. Mm. But it's like, and Mark and I got into a juice kick, but we realized there's a lot of sugar.
Right. We didn't realize. We're like, oh, I'll just juice a whole pineapple. Glug glug glug.
Feel great.
I'm chewing through the countertop, but that's fine.
It was like that. Speaking of politicians, there was a wonderful article in the New York Times talking about why Sarah Palin left the governorship in California or in Alaska, because they're like, she did it for the money, because like she had so many bills, because she only got paid like $125,000 a year.
For what she was having to do.
I know. Would you?
Are you kidding me?
I know. But it's different when you have you have a bunch of kids you have to support there too, and you're the governor, and then people expect you to live in a certain style. But then this trooper gate, the cost of doing that was gonna kill her. So they set up that pack, and then the money just started rolling in. She's like, I made $100,000 in a week, another $100,000, and they're like, she's just like, and she wanted to do that book deal, and the government pretty much told her she couldn't go on book tour while governor. So she's just like, fuck that. I'm gonna go on book tour. So she's made like $12 million or something like that in the past year. Yeah.
Maybe she should be president of the United States. It's like, she's brilliant.
She's I'm brilliant.
Like, it's 12 all, million.
But, you know, it's all for show.
Yeah, no, but... Hey, you know, it's like, I wish someone would offer me $12 million for anything.
Anything. Anything.
I'll do anything. Anything for $12
million. Well, I heard some samurais were warming up some pokey sticks.
Put it in.
You don't need the poking stick.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Just bring it on. I'll just breathe a lot. So what else is going on? Melissa Etheridge's ex is saying,
oh boy,
I'm going to talk trash about mom.
Really? What's she saying about her?
She's not saying anything. She's kind of threatening right now. So it's Tammy Lynn Michaels posted on her blog that she's going to be saying the truth. There it is.
The truth shall set E free.
She said, my blog, Hollywood Farm Girl, will be the only place, not Oprah Winfrey's show.
Oh, because Melissa's going on Oprah Winfrey?
She Melissa Etheridge already was on Oprah.
Oh, she was? Talking about her divorce?
She'd be like, I cut the bitch.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what she said. I'm sure that's exactly what she said.
She said,
I drove all night verbatim to cut the bitch.
That's Cindy Lauper.
That's Celine Dion.
But no,
Celine Dion, I drove all night?
Yeah, that's
what I think. Oh, you're so cute and young. That's a Cindy Lauper song that Celine Dion covered.
No, I think that's Melissa Etheridge's song.
I drove all night.
I think she wrote it.
To get to you.
Oh,
didn't
wow.
she? I'm that's sorry, Wikipedia.
That's a Cindy Lauper song.
Is it
dear.
Really?
I drove all night. I'm pretty sure it's Melissa Etheridge.
I drove all night. Wikipedia. Save the argument. It's become the Guinness Book of... What is it? The Guinness Book of World Records? It was written by Billy Steinberg.
Okay.
And Tom Kelly for Roy Orbison. Orbison first recorded the song in 1987, but his rendition was not released until 1992, after the song became a top hit for Cyndi Lauper in 1989.
Oh, treated. Oof. You're right.
Respect, people. You think
I know Melissa Rush. I know she like covered that. It.
Ugh.
Who?
Melissa Etheridge.
Probably.
I know she covered
she
it.
She did?
She got nothing else to do. Darn.
I know she did.
Oh, my gosh. Can we just talk about how both of these women are very attractive?
Who would you rather? You like the stone cold butches, though.
Not stone cold. I like affectionate women who happen to be handsome and look a lot like men. That's the thing.
So you like Justin Bieber is what
you're
saying.
But you don't want a trans guy.
You know, it's not that I don't. It's just that I'm attracted. It's not about boobs. It's about being a strong, masculine woman. I'm attracted to that very much so. And I think that trans men are very handsome and very sexy also.
Me too.
But I tend to be drawn...
you're allowed to like what you like.
Yeah.
You know? Say what you want.
My type is a woman who is strong and masculine and is often... Confused for a man. Yeah. I really
like Justin Bieber.
But that's
you
boyish.
Want to have sex with Justin Bieber is what you're saying.
You want more George Clooney,
if a lesbian
Clooney,
looks
though.
Like Justin Bieber, you'd be all over that.
I just...
Right?
I
like a teen pop star,
you know,
but it's an adult woman.
Is size important? Do you want a big guy, big lady guy?
No, I think that it's mostly about personality. I mean, I'm being a comic and being someone who just really appreciates a quick sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I love sharp humor, like really people who are very smart,
mm-hmm.
And very, you know, can come back with stuff and share private jokes and whatever. That kind of stuff really appeals to me. So someone with a really great personality, but like physically, when I see someone and I find them attractive, it's usually someone who's like super.
Well, now
you
ride a motorcycle. I mean, can't you like join one of those dykes on bikes groups?
Absolutely.
And find somebody through there?
I could.
You know?
Yes. And maybe I will. Maybe I'll find someone through there, but I'm not really looking. But I do appreciate.
Tamala, you strike me as if you're frustrated that you're not getting the sex that you want.
Is
that a fair?
I would say that I get exactly the sex that I want. I would say that finding the right partner is challenging. I think that's the right answer.
So it's challenging. So if you're listening out there and you look like Justin Bieber and you're a woman, give her a call. Hit up the girl. She's talented and beautiful.
That's true.
What turns you on besides me? But like, what turns you on? Like, what? Because this is a kind of a question worth asking.
What's that?
And I want the listeners to reflect on yourselves. So if you're listening to the show today, visit the website feastoffun.com and comment. What turns you on in a man or a woman or in a person? Is it their body? Is it their personality? What kind of things turn you on?
I like eagerness. People that are like eager beavers and ready to get things done.
You like the sort of personality of a male stripper, but without the CD.
Without the grease.
Without the grease and the danger involved. Because the thing about male strippers, a lot of them are sexy, but you're always worried they're going to steal your wallet.
Mm-hmm. For good reason. For good reason.
Like, we met this one guy, Colin Irish.
Colin.
I don't think that's his real name.
I don't know either.
But we were at a local watering hole here the other day, and he looked like Lady Gaga as a guy, and he had all this great fashion, great personality, real nice guy.
And
really
seemed real eager.
And seemed real eager. He's like, you don't have to pay me a dollar. I'll do it for free.
Wow.
I was like, we're all whores, darling. And so it was really nice, and I really like appreciated that kind of personality. For me, it's like, if a guy's really in shape, and yet he's really ugly in the face, that I can handle like a good body on an ugly face. Like, if his face looked like it was beaten.
Whereas I'm more about the face. I don't really care so much. Like, the body is whatever. Like, you know, but I like
a good
face
as opposed to a good body.
Yeah, so I'm the opposite.
I have this very specific type that I'm actually drawn to. And it's interesting because it works for both men and women. Although I'm queer, but I'm more of a fan of the ladies. I don't really.
Have you ever dated a man?
I've never dated a guy. I've never had a boyfriend. It's not really my
deal. Have you ever tied a man up?
Yes. Yes, I have.
And did that make
you
feel powerful?
His name was Fausto. You weren't conscious. You don't remember. Anyways,
I don't remember any of this.
There's a... Oh, but this is the thing. Those newsboy caps, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And dark black rim glasses with those newsboy caps. I am a sucker for that crap every single time. Every time I walk into a... It's so dumb because it's so obvious. It's like, I can walk into a coffee shop and turn my head and be like, hello. And it's like, you know...
Well, you're a hot
tamale.
So, I mean, you should have the pick of any of these butchy guys out there.
Well,
butchy ladies.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Because when you're hot and you're a redhead, it's like throwing gasoline on the sexy fire.
You got that right. That's right. You better get a fire blanket over here.
I think it's very important to talk about and to meditate, not just because, you know, people subconsciously, they look at pornography or they go to bars or they date or they go on, you know, online websites to meet people, but they don't like think about it or analyze it. And I think it's really politically powerful to think about what turns you on, because we are fighting for the right to love.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rename the gay rights movement to the right to love movement. I want to steal that from the right to life. Right to love, because that's what we're fighting for.
Explain it to them.
So this is, I'm repeating this and hopefully it'll catch on. I'm very bad at starting memes. I'm very good at reporting them. But I was reflecting on like, what is the, in terms of burden and things that we carry in our lives and the abuses that we have, one of the most important things that according to the Bible, to Jesus and the Beatles, is that love is the most important thing in life. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a young gay person or a transgendered person or, you know, if the world, if you feel your friend, your family, your church, your community is against you, and who you want to love, then that is can be the most horrible abuse.
Mm-hmm. It's like psychologically damaging.
Psychologically damaging. And so we're all kind of like, you know, we have a shell shock in a sense because we have been fighting for the right to love all our lives. And when other people take this stuff for granted. And so that's why I titled like Monday's show, The Right to Love, because I want that to catch on.
Let's start a Facebook group.
The Right to Love.
Or a page, and you can like it or not.
Yeah, I hate the Right to Love.
Because they're not fan pages anymore. They're just pages, and you can like it.
I don't like it.
And Nicole Smith.
Dislike.
What was it? It was a burger, I think. She was like,
mashed potatoes.
It was mashed potatoes.
In the first season of Kathy Griffin's My Life's on the D-List.
It was polenta.
Polenta. She was eating polenta with Kathy Griffin. She went, I like it.
I thought it was mashed potato. I like it. You're like, what?
Your face is hilarious when you do that.
Oh, I like it.
Have you seen Kathy Griffin's new photos with Mike Reiss?
Not yet.
Mike Reiss needs to take everybody's photo. Mm-hmm. So he's managed to make Kathy Griffin, who's a very attractive woman in person, but is not very photogenic in my opinion, a lovely person, and gorgeous. I think she puts on too much makeup on.
For her TV show.
For her TV show. But
like, we've stood like as close to her as we're standing to you now, and you know, even gorgeous. Closer. And she looks fine.
I got really close, you know what I'm saying?
He touched her breast.
I bet you did.
She forced me to. Mm-hmm. And you don't say no to Kathy. Yeah. And so she's worked with Mike Ruiz and made herself look like Betty Page.
A redheaded Betty Page.
It's hot.
And I like what BuzzFeed said about it. They had a picture of it and they said, sexy or scary? So I posted that on Facebook and people are like, a little bit of both.
Oh my gosh. I have to see these pictures immediately.
It's hot. We'll show you. I'll show you right now.
Show me, please. Here, please.
Yeah, Kathy's just a lovely person and you know deserves all the success that she has.
So Glad is mad again. They're mad at the Washington Times. I didn't realize the Washington Times is so anti-LGBT rights.
They are?
Yeah, they are.
I didn't know that.
They're saying they're attacking ENDA, saying discrimination is necessary, and they're talking about gays and transgendered people as being weirdos because they're like afraid that some kid in fifth grade, his teacher, is going to be Sally one day, and then come back the next day, and it's going to be Sam, and it's like. Kids don't care. All these adults put all these expectations on children. And children, they don't care if somebody is a boy one day and a girl the next. They accept it.
I think maybe at some point it was a bigger deal, but I feel like, you know, with my generation and the generation the couple after that, you know, it's like grew up watching, well, I mean, people a little bit maybe after me, but grew up watching South Park and watching, you know, things like that, just being part of a conversation. And I don't know. I mean, I think it would be kind of a big deal for a minute. But then they'd find something else to be all big deal about. You know, it's just kind of like anything else.
Okay, come take a look at the photo of Kathy Griffin as Betty Page. Take your headphones off. Look at that.
Dun, 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 dun.
I think it's pretty hot. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. She is a fox. That looks amazing.
That's her with Mike Ruiz. I think it's good. She's wearing a wig to look like Betty Page.
Well, of course, but you know what?
Is it a lace front wig?
It's not, because that's bangs. It's actually a pretty cheap wig.
Is it? No, yeah. She can afford an expensive wig. She's a gazillionaire.
I know, but
that one right there.
That's pretty cute, isn't it?
So we'll
look at it more when we're done with the show. But
kids look
at transgendered people as, in a lot of ways, as the way they look at Santa Claus. Mm-hmm.
They're gonna get gifts from them?
No, they it's like you know Santa Claus exists. As a kid, you know that transgendered people exist, but when you actually come face to face with one, it's kind of exciting. And so kids are not grossed out by it, they're just fascinated and they're screaming like you know, like they're happy. So you know, because kids are used to dealing with clowns and they're used to dealing with like cartoon characters, and I always think all that stuff is a part of continuum. Who we are, depending on how we dress and how we present ourselves to the outside world.
Well, I don't think I ever saw. I don't think I saw like a transgendered person probably till I was an adult, or it wasn't even maybe on my radar. I mean, you hear about drag queens and things, or you've heard about people that have sex changes.
But kids today, you know, all they have to do is turn on the TV and watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, think about when I was in college. I remember taking this class that was talking. You know, it was about being transgendered and just. I actually missed the day that that they had these speakers come in. So I actually had to make it up by going to one of the people's houses, and they had like a dinner, and I went, and then we just all sat around, and I got to actually have all this one-on-one time with these people and just chatting with them about their lives and stuff. And so it was really interesting because that was probably one of my first real interactions, and they were a much older generation of transgendered people. And so, you know, of course, being in the queer community in the way that I am, and I travel and perform and like very much enmeshed in that, you know, when I look at like RuPaul's, all of that stuff, it's like so glamorous and so beautiful. And it's something that you look at and, you know, or like even going to Kit Kat, right? The Kit Kat Club here in Chicago, that they have, you know, performers there.
They're showgirls.
They're beautiful, right?
But not all transgender people are showgirls. And anybody else, there's a huge variety.
Yes.
And
some are schlumpy. Yes. You know, and age plays into it. Like there's all kinds of, there's everything to see, but it's just to know that like that was my first impression. But then for these younger generations, they see it highly televised, you know, examples of these things. And I think it's really interesting. It's not as scary as it might have been for
I don't think it ever was scary. I don't think any kid.
I mean, it was portrayed as scary, though.
Yeah,
I think
it's portrayed,
to the adult, to the parents,
right?
They're like, "Oh my god!" Because you know, the parents are, kids pick up on the fear that the parents have, and so you know, of course, naturally, most children are created by heterosexual people. Big surprise.
Even gay ones.
Oh, even gay ones trying to deny their sexuality. But and so, you know, their parents not always best equipped to deal with things that we as gay people or transgendered people or lesbian people or fill in the blank have had a lifetime of experience to cope with. So, but we're moving forward as a society, and you know, Archie's gay comic book character is just one sign of how where it makes financial sense for businesses to embrace diversity, the right to love movement.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that sound great?
It is so much better than the right to life.
Right to love.
Bornstein, Kate Bornstein.
Yes. I love her, yes.
Gender outlaw.
Yes. She actually was just the speaker at, I go to IDKE every year, the International Drag King Extravaganza. I always perform and, you know, I'm heavily involved with them. But she was actually our keynote speaker in Tucson this year. And she showed this PowerPoint presentation, and she was talking about transgendered people and how, you know, like, no wonder people have been so scared of us for so long. Look at the, you know, M to F, and it shows like these really, you know, alarming pictures of like these, you know, scary looking, you know, older with like, you know, beards and makeup, and it's like really. And then she goes, and look at the F to M's, and it's like these really hot dudes. Like, you know, in how they're portrayed in media, like boys don't cry, right? Like how attractive,
right
like,
you're too pretty to be a girl or a guy or whatever.
But I mean, just the point that like that makes it more acceptable, and especially, you know, when FaceTime, like when you see something, your impression of something visually plays so much into your opinion of it.
If you want to fuck it, you're more willing to accept it.
Could not have said it more clearly.
But Kate is a wonderful speaker. If you ever get an opportunity to see her do her work, is just go out and see it. Even if you're not all into the whole gender queer or anything like that,
it's a dynamic speaker.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Let's. We're running out of time here. Whitney Houston's worst enemy is, of course, her biggest hit.
Herself.
What? Well, besides herself, cocaine. Really, Whitney Houston's worst enemy is the crack pipe. Mm. But it's like the blog Pop Eater. They have been chronicling Whitney Houston's tour across the UK right now. She's traveling in London, I guess, and she's performing at the O2 Arena where Michael Jackson was supposed to perform.
Aww.
And people are like recording her concerts with their cell phones or their flip cameras and posting up on YouTube. And she just cannot sing her song, I Will Always Love You.
She can't sing it?
She can't.
She should get that little Taiwanese boy to sing it.
Yes, Lin Yu Chung.
And I...
She should sing a duet with him like William Shatner did.
Oh, no.
Why? She's afraid of him. She's probably...
No. She's like, you sent me for my song. And my meal ticket.
Oh, man.
But she's like, the British tabloids are saying that she's huffing and sweating more than... This full-figured politician.
Running
for the bus. The Sun said, time and substances haven't been kind to her once astonishing voice.
Oh, man.
Poor Winnie. That's, and she's wearing this awful wig, too.
Let that be a lesson to you kids out there. Take your talent, run with it, and don't let Bobby Brown bring you down.
Right.
Or a crack
pipe. Mm-hmm. Or the crack pipe.
Or cocaine or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, let that metaphorical crack pipe put it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the great way to get rid of a crack pipe?
I can't imagine.
Throw it in the dumpster.
That's a pretty good.
Because there's what you won't use, a homeless person will.
So generous. That's
you know, I'm a giving type.
Yeah.
That's that Pam Grier should have done that when she was done.
Oh, my God.
So I guess she's come out talking about her
biography coming out.
A biography. So watch out the Oprah Winfrey tell-all book by Kitty Kelly. Pam Grier talks about in her biography that she went to the doctor and was in danger of overdosing on cocaine.
Yeah.
Vagina had, the doctor said, there's this thing going around in Hollywood right now that a lot of women are having a lot of high levels of cocaine found in their vagina. And the doctor, I guess, concluded that because she was having sex with Richard Pryor.
Oh, God.
At first, they thought that Richard Pryor was rolling his dick on cocaine to numb it so he could go longer.
Mm-hmm.
But the doctors concluded that Richard Pryor's cocaine levels were so high in his body that his sperm fluid had cocaine in it.
And it said she had a cocaine encrusted vagina.
Yeah.
It's like a martini glass. Just.
Well, it's more like a margarita.
Margarita. Which is a margarita thin bowl. Coating around the edge.
A little bit.
Just dusting. On half. A dusting.
I'll just have half a vagina encrusted.
I like to watch the crystals form, she says.
Those sperm must have been swimming fast.
Exploding coming out.
Oh my goodness.
Diving into people.
I can't wait to get that on my iPad. I can't wait to get an iPad.
I was like, you have an iPad? That's so exciting.
No.
You
know, I was exciting. Playing with my friend. I wish I did. But
my friend has an iPad, yeah. And we were talking about how he's like, gosh, this thing is just so giant. It's like, you can't really, you have to put it in like a case. You can't really put it in your pocket like a phone. I was like, yeah, you know, it's a really good argument to get a pair of overalls and just put it in that one big pocket the front. You know what I mean? Just like tuck it in.
iPad tuck overalls. I'm surprised they're not on the market now.
Designers are making iPad pants. So they have a giant pocket in the back where you can stick your iPad. Don't sit down on it because you'll break it. But
I like the front version.
You can't be serious.
I'm not kidding you.
Yep. Oh my God.
I don't have it in front of me.
How about
just
an iPad bib?
That is genius.
So you just
as long as it has one of those little, you know, those little catch things at the bottom.
Yes, to get my Cheerios in there.
That's like Cheerios.
That's what I eat.
Do you prefer the honey nut Cheerios?
I haven't had Cheerios in years. I just know little kids like
not
Cheerios.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you guys heard about the South Park episode that I guess gotten the creators of South Park death threats from a radical Muslim group?
Mm-hmm. No way.
So
they portrayed Muhammad, and you're not allowed to draw Muhammad because it's against the religious beliefs, because you're not allowed to actually have pictures of like people or humans because it's idolatry. In Muslim art, you'll find like very few, if any, representations of the human form.
And this is where I it can offend you, and this is what the radical Muslim group, who's based in the United States, actually, we are not threatening the South Park producers Trey Parker and Matt Stone, but it included a gruesome picture of Theo van Gogh, a Dutch filmmaker killed by a Muslim extremist in 2004, on their website, and said the producers could meet the same fate. The website posted...
Oh, yeah, that's not a threat. I don't understand how that was confused at all.
And then the website posted the physical address of Comedy Central's New York City office and the California production studio where South Park is made and where people show up for work to make the cartoon. My feeling is, if you're based in the United States and you're a Muslim rights group and you want this country and people all around the world to see and to embrace your religion, you need to speak out against religious intolerance.
They don't want people to embrace their religion.
Well, they're embracing violence. And so they can't say we are not.
Hello.
But the problem is that a lot of these groups, they're saying that my religious belief is not one that's embraced, that it is possible to be Christian, Muslim, mm-hmm. or Jewish and not be violent. And here they're embracing violence because they're not speaking out against it.
It's jihad, baby. That's what is a jihad.
But I think it's unfair for them to want to say, I want to speak out against violence and at the same time not condone this.
Right. Well, but there's are different Muslim people that are speaking out against violence. These people are they're violent.
Warning them. But it's a thinly veiled. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're not warning them. They're not condoning the violence that's coming out from these other people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
messed
up.
Well, I like what the Simpsons did. Another thing, it was Bart Simpson. You know how he writes on the chalkboard at the beginning of the episode? They'd say said something. We'd defend you or support you if we weren't so scared.
South Park. This is a Seattle cartoonist has responded to say to want to launch May 20th is going to be Everybody Draw Muhammad Day.
May 20th?
So regardless of the religious background you come from, and I would invite a lot of American Muslims to participate in this.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it offends your religious beliefs, but because you are speaking for freedom of expression and for... against violence. And maybe you may not want to draw Muhammad, but you might say, I support people's freedom of expression, because that's a vital to living in a stable society where we can practice whatever religious
and they need to get with modern times. I mean, come on. It's like, you know, it's 2010. It's what we do. It doesn't necessarily have to be idolatry. But, you know, when the Romans, I remember learning in religion class when the Romans invaded, you know, Palestine and Israel, that the Jews had a real big problem with the Roman idols, because they were like, this is offensive. You have statues of Caesar, and they didn't have statues of people. they didn't have images like that because it was against their religion. So you see, like, in their artwork, it's a lot of, like, intricate, like, what do you call it?
Decorations.
You know, decorations and patterns and things like that, but no people.
Hmm. What do you think about that, Tamale?
I'm just so overwhelmed.
You're right. Even, like, the word, like, iconoclast comes from when the Muslims, you know, went into Turkey and saw all these beautiful icons and then and crashed them and trashed them.
Well, and I would really like to actually see, you know, it affects us because this is a very visible public entertainment company being attacked by a group. You know,
it's heated. It's a heated. You know, it's a heated situation.
Those guys from South Park, they have enough money to take that whole thing out. They just hire some hitman. There you go. God. You want South Park? Like, you want a war? I got money. I made a movie, and that movie's.
Sure, you may have bountiful oil fields, but what I have is the income from South Park 1 and 2. You will go down in flames.
But I mean, it's just to me, I think it's absolutely outrageous and ludicrous.
I think that the most irritating thing about that particular thing is that, well, first of all, that this would be the first time that Matt Stone and Trey Parker would be
in the news
in the news for that. I mean, come on, like, they haven't affected, like, their stuff is
and as someone who's personally been offended by their stuff,
and it's like, oh, now this is the first time that someone's actually, you know, that this has come to the surface. But for this particular thing, I think it's for me personally, I am deeply annoyed that it's like, oh, it's not a threat. We're not threatening.
No,
we're just giving you the results of your heinous ways.
Give examples of what we've done in the past, and maybe include some photo imagery. But this is not a threat. It's merely a suggestion.
And I would say that Americans really, and people around the world, value the freedom of expression much more than they value any religion. And so, if you're going to pit those two against each other, guess who's going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Don't fight wars you can't win.
But sometimes they feel good. Fight them,
Mark.
You gotta fight the good fight sometimes.
Fight the good fight.
Fight the good fight.
Like this, the suburban Chicago firefighters have rescued a small little dog that became trapped inside a mechanized recliner chair by cutting it in half.
The dog or the chair?
The chair.
Okay. It was not the dog. It was like King Solomon. Cut it in half.
It's a 5-year-old little pooch is on painkillers and was able to go for a walk today.
As long as it didn't have any nerve damage, I think it's okay.
It had nerve damage.
It did?
Yeah.
I know.
Poor baby. It's stuck in there.
It's a little terrier. Just terriers get into things.
It was just rooting around for change and slipped on through the cushions.
Well, that's why they develop like those little rat terriers, is to go into little burrows and flush out the rats.
And to find your keys also. So that's what, here, smell this. This is where my keys, get them.
Someone told the terrier there was squirrels in the chair.
Mark, go get it.
Mark, you're fighting with squirrels.
I'm fighting with a squirrel right now.
You are?
I planted these peas because I thought, oh, these lovely pea shoots and stuff like that. I'm like, so I put them out, they're outside, and then the squirrel is like eating them. Like eating these pea shoots. There's so much. Like,
do you have a rubber band gun?
Huh?
Do you have a rubber band gun?
No, I don't.
You might want to invest in one of those.
The problem is though, I think that squirrel gets up early in the morning. It starts grazing early. Unlike so what you. I have done, and this is something I've discovered, is squirrels hate duct tape. So they do.
Try gaffer's tape.
No, but they like gaffer's tape because the gum doesn't stick to it. Because
what happened was, too, is like we have these dumpsters, and they just like, these dumpsters are like, it's like a grocery mart to them because they chew into the top of the lid.
Oh, yeah.
So they chew through that plastic. And one area where I chew, there was the plastic that they had chewed through, I put some duct tape to duct tape it over, and it won't touch it because it there's something about the smell or the taste, really? It can't handle it. So I'm going to get some replacements for the top of those things and just cover the whole thing in duct tape.
I think that's pretty smart.
Or the edge, I'm going to edge it in duct tape.
It's good. You're going to look like a crazy homeless woman who made like something out of aluminum foil and duct tape.
Well, I'm not going to do the whole top, just the edge, because like that's all you have to worry about, because unless like it starts doing an edge on the top, and then we'll just put it wherever it wants it.
Have
eats.
You thought about doing because, like a mesh screen box of some sort? You know, because I know some women that could really rig something up.
I really would like to kill that squirrel, but the thing is though, you can't kill squirrels in the city.
You're not allowed to kill squirrels.
No, you're not allowed to kill squirrels.
Really?
Oh, Tamale, it's been such a nice time with you here today. Oh, what music would you like to listen to?
This one.
How about some Michelle Malone?
I love Michelle
Debris.
Malone.
This is a Feather and a Hurricane.
I love it.
She's a hot, hot, hot tamale, like
indeed.
Tamale.
I feel like a feather.
Her music is available on our website, feastoffun.com, home of fabulousness. We recommend you also visit today's show sponsor, which is
Milwaukee Pride Fest.
Yes, they're gonna have Kathy Griffin up there.
I know, amazing.
And Joan Rivers.
But hey, I want to remind the listener too, if you find something fabulous on the internet, post it at feastoffun.com/fresh. Or if you've got a great blog idea, write it. Put it on the fresh section.
Turn your press release into a storyline and let the world know. More people visit feastoffun.com/fresh every day than your miserable Facebook page.
It's true.
And so more people will read it than they'll read Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because Facebook is a walled garden.
It is.
And walled gardens are beautiful only to those who can see them.
Right.
How dare you not be fabulous? Share your fabulousness with the world. Tamale, you're going to be May 14th at Circuit.
Yes. Tamale Presents LOL with Sandra Valls. We're having her come in and I'm super excited to have her. It'll be May 14th. It's a Friday evening. Seating begins at 8 p.m. at Circuit and the show begins promptly at 9. All the information can be found on tamalerocks.com.
Right on. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See you later. Smoking a Cuban cigar and eating shepherd's pie. There was a stick around his bump of the red. What would Jesus drive? I drove to the gas station.